The USA can do it as well tonight and complete their journey to Brazil 2014. They, of course, have to get something against Mexico, though. And a man who joins me here on the show today is a man who is more than apt at talking about all things CONCACAF and, of course, the Mexican national team. Joining me on the line right now, Mr. Eric Gomez of Goal.com. Eric, how are you today, mate? It's a pleasure to have you on board. It's been, the last time we spoke, we said Chet De La Torre could be leaving this Mexican national team very soon. He's gone. Have things got any better? Are things any more positive for the Mexican national team, Eric?
Yeah, I would say so. I would say that any change is going to light a fire under your players, because when there's a new guy in charge, you don't have the certainty that you might have had under your old boss, knowing full well that things weren't doing well enough to continue on with that project. And if you were a starter, you feel like, you know, suddenly there's somebody looking over your shoulder, somebody new. And if you weren't a starter, then you have renewed hope that you might be able to sneak into that starting lineup. And I do think that that's what's going on with Mexico at the moment. And we'll see. Not a lot of changes, tactically speaking, from Luis Fernando Tena, the new Mexico boss. But we will see enough, I think, to possibly not just renew the players' hope, but renew the fans' hope that this team is going to be able to get back on track towards Brazil 2014.
Let's talk about the man that's taking the job first and foremost, Luis Fernando Tena, his tenure beginning, if you will, excuse the pun, as Mexico manager, coming off was that fantastic Summer Olympics with the Olympic squad, getting the gold medal. I mean, do people immediately think of him and think this is a guy that's going to be able to make an immediate impact on a group of players that have been lacking confidence over the last few months?
I think it's strange because on one hand, you have a guy that has a proven track record, not just with the national team in the U23s, but also as a club coach. I mean, he's won, I believe, three titles in Mexico during his long career as a manager. He's coached some pretty big teams, and he's had a lot of success. So on one hand, you would absolutely think that that is the case. And then on the other hand, I mean, this is the number one assistant to the guy that you just fired. So how different can his philosophy be? How different can his approach with the players be? And I think that he has, at least with the media, ushered in a little bit more communication, a little bit more calm than we saw with his predecessor, with Chepo de la Torre. So going into this game on Tuesday, I think that we will see a different team with a different sense of confidence. I mean, we saw it on Friday against Honduras. After that first goal, they did the exact same thing that they did in San Pedro Sula in Honduras back in March. They turned around a game that Mexico had dominated in about 5 minutes. Mm. And they did so because Chepo lost control of the game. And it happened again at the Estadio Azteca. And you would see players like, you know, really, really long-standing national team players like Torrado looking at the bench just going, you know, what do I do? And you're not getting the answers from the bench that you need. Players like Chicharito and Giovanni Dos Santos were also just absolutely dumbfounded by what was going on. And I think that now with a guy like Luis Fernando Tena, you're not going to see that happen, because Tena is a coach that transmits a lot more confidence to players than Chepo de la Torre ever did. I mean, there's a difference between just going out there and hollering at your players and hollering at your players but offering solutions at the same time, which is, I think, something that Tena is going to bring to the table.
Is there questions, though? You say Chepo lost the game against Honduras on Friday. But I mean, this is a Mexico side that, you would have thought, has enough quality, especially on home soil, to, you know, even when the manager's barking out orders, there are people there, people that can change a game in that side. So does that show just how far the players had lost that confidence? The fact that not even, you know, top quality world class players were able to kind of motivate themselves to change the game on the pitch and almost kind of not go against their manager, but see that their manager was losing it and try and do something about it on an individual note.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we've seen far worse Mexican national teams pull out big victories at Azteca. And I think that that's also a credit to the level of CONCACAF. And this is something that people are going to dispute to the end. Mm. You know, CONCACAF is, statistically speaking, and according, you know, to the level of play, it's still one of the worst confederations in the world. But I do think that there have been some teams that have raised their game over the last 10 or 15 years, the U.S., of course, being one of those teams. But Honduras has also had some pretty good moments. So it's not worth the risk to discount what they did at the Estadio Azteca and what they have done for the last 5 or 6 years with their two Colombian coaches that have guided them, Reynaldo Rueda to the 2010 World Cup and now Suarez getting them close to 2014. But again, yeah, I agree with you in saying that Mexico has lost confidence. And you saw it again. Yeah, I'm going to go back to this. When Chicharito goes in, and I mean, by that point, Mexico had taken out two of their most important midfielders for that game, Chaco Jimenez and Fernando Arce of Tijuana. Chicharito comes in, and he goes up to Giovanni Dos Santos, and he tells him, you know what, you're going to be taking a position further back in the midfield. And Giovanni just looked at him with just a glazed look in his eyes going, I mean, you know full well I am not that effective from that far back in the pitch. I mean, Giovanni Dos Santos is a guy that needs to be close to the opposing area. Mm. And he was not going to be doing so for the last 20, 25 minutes. So, I mean, even the tactical modifications that Chepo de la Torre espoused in these last few games had absolutely alienated some of his top players. And that is something that you just cannot do when you are coaching a club or a national team, because if those modifications are alienating your players and they're not taking effect, then you know you're going to lose confidence from them.
What changes do you think will be made then by Tenya going into this game against Mexico? Will it be tactical or will there be squad changes as well? Do you think Luis Fernandez Tenya has maybe a certain number of players that he would like to see starting in this lineup that Chep De La Torre maybe placed on the bench?
I don't think that you can make a lot of really big tactical changes knowing full well that your last game was 4 days ago. I think that you're gonna see some more some squad changes. Chicharito, Javier Hernandez is obviously going to start in place of Oribe Peralta. And Oribe Peralta did not do a bad job. I mean, the guy scored a goal against Honduras, but you have to have your best personnel in there, and Hernandez definitely is that top striker for Mexico. I think you're going to see the return of a guy like Andres Guardado, who plays over there at Valencia. Mm. And quite possibly you're going to see a young central defender who's very good and plays for Porto over there in Portugal, Diego Reyes, go back to the bench in favor of a guy like Massa Rodriguez, who offers a bit more experience and was actually the skipper of this Mexican national team for the last few months. So I think the message for Tena is going to be clear. We're going to go back to experience. We're going to go back to our top players, and we're going to try and pull this out in a very hostile environment.
And it's going to be a difficult game. The US, renowned for being far better on home soil than they are away. They suffered, of course, that loss to Costa Rica away from home. Back at home, though, the US will want to show that Costa Rica blip, that breaking of the unbeaten record, it was just a blip on the radar. They'll be out to show something against Mexico tonight. Klinsmann, though, with plenty of problems to do with suspensions and injuries. How big a loss are these four players going into tonight's game?
Yeah, and I do think that we've been overlooking that bit, because the loss of Michael Bradley is just absolutely massive. Michael Bradley is the type of player that if you don't mention his name more than once or twice during the 90 minutes, he did his job. You know, he is that ghost in the midfield that displays the type of tactical order that Jurgen Klinsmann just absolutely adores from his United States men's national team. He's a player that's equally effective on defense and on offense, and he's a guy that the wingers and forwards, when they're well defended, can just dump the ball back to, and he's going to be able to generate some sort of play for that U.S. national team. So to lose Bradley in the middle of that pitch is just absolutely massive for them, and if Mexico can find a way to dominate midfield, then I think the U.S. is going to be in serious, serious trouble. Also, you don't have Jozy Altidore. Jozy Altidore is a type of player that would hit with his physique and with his skill set is going to be just absolutely terrible for Mexico defenders on his best day. Now you don't have him. You have Clint Dempsey and Landon Donovan, who are obviously no slouches, but Mexico knows how to defend these two players now, and they have done for years. Altidore was just getting into his stride, and it's a really big shame for Mexico, for the U.S. rather, that they don't have a guy like Altidore. And Matt Beisler, I mean, gosh, we talked about Matt Beisler after March 26th at the Estadio Azteca, just a surprise inclusion by Klinsmann. He absolutely dominated Chicharito alongside Omar Gonzalez in that game and just did not let the Manchester United striker do absolutely anything of benefit for his side. To not have Beisler is going to be massive as well for the U.S. because now they're going to have to switch their pieces around in the back, and you're possibly going to see a guy like Michael Orozco filling in, maybe Jeff Cameron, maybe somebody else, you know, just from the bench, didn't have a chance to play against Costa Rica. It's going to be very difficult for Klinsmann to come up with solutions to basically fill in for three guys that that constitute the middle part of his lineup. Now Mexico is going to have a bit more leeway in how they plan this game out tactically and what they're able to do with possession. So, and the other thing that I think we're overlooking is pretty simple. The Estadio Azteca is the Estadio Azteca because you're 5,000 meters over the sea level, because there's a ton of pollution that makes it hard to breathe, and because there's 110,000 screaming fans yelling at you. Columbus is Columbus because of the cold. Because of the cold. Mexico just cannot tolerate playing in that sort of environment. It's not going to be cold this tonight in Columbus, and they're going to have renewed hope, renewed confidence with a new manager. This is going to be such an interesting game.
The four guys that have come in, Eric, Joe Corona, Brad Davis, Clarence Goodson, and Jose Torres, they all have experience. Do you see any of them being able to walk into, but step into one of those four missing roles from a starting lineup? Or will Klinsmann be going to the bench that he already had against Costa Rica to look for the players to fill out these missing positions, do you think?
I think for center back, he's going to go to the pre-existing bench. But you might see somebody like Kyle Beckerman in the middle of the pitch filling in for Bradley. I'd be wary to see a guy like Jose Torres fill in for Bradley from the U.S. perspective, because Torres is a guy that, in my opinion, has yet to come into his role, into what Klinsmann and the U.S. men's national team expects from a guy like Jose Torres, and from his skill set being so good offensively and so good defensively. He has not yet responded. A guy that's starting to come into his own is Joe Corona, but with the absences, I don't really see Corona filling in one of those three positions. Obviously, it's going to be difficult.
And as well, you mentioned obviously Altidore gone, and touched on two big names, arguably the most famous names in that U.S. men's national team lineup, Dempsey and Donovan. But neither of them considered an out-and-out striker, really. As a replacement for Altidore, is there a chance we're going to see maybe Aaron Johansson, who's impressed already at AZ Alkmaar this season and did very well, I thought, in Bosnia, and also Eddie Johnson as well, who is starting to be a little trip the light fantastic for the Sounders in Major League Soccer. I mean, would these two represent a far more like-for-like swap for Altidore rather than maybe shoving either Dempsey or Donovan in that front man lone up top role?
More so than Johnson, and I think that this is purely because of the way that Jurgen Klinsmann operates. More so than Eddie Johnson, I would expect to see Johansson in there, just because he's a curveball for the Mexican national team. They don't know Aaron Johansson. They don't know what he's capable of. A guy like Luis Fernando Tena has had barely 4 days to be able to study this U.S. men's national team, and Eddie Johnson is a guy that has been around, definitely very talented, definitely getting back into his stride with Seattle, but a guy that is a little bit more more common knowledge for the Mexican national team. The same way that Klinsmann threw out Beisler at the Estadio Azteca. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that we're going to see at least one big surprise from Jurgen Klinsmann going into this game against Mexico. And I think that we've come to expect that from the German coach, because against Costa Rica, I saw a lot of my colleagues just absolutely going, Orozco? Wow, Michael Orozco is starting? So you get that bit of surprise from Klinsmann every single time. I don't expect it to be any different against Mexico. So yeah, I mean, I would definitely see a guy like Johansson getting the starter or getting a good chunk of time on the pitch to be able to create some havoc in that Mexican back line.
You mentioned as well with Bradley out, the center of the pitch really becomes up for grabs in terms of winning that battle. Is that where you see as being the key area? Whoever, which one of these two sides is able to start controlling that center of the pitch will be able to start pulling the strings in this game and have the advantage, or are there key battles elsewhere, do you think, in this game?
No, I think that is the key to the game. I think we're long past the days of obviously Bruce Arena and Bob Bradley, and the way that the U.S. would beat Mexico in the past would be to, no matter where you're playing, just sit back and let Mexico dominate possession and then just be able to fire away on a counterattack or to create some sort of danger on a set piece. I think Jurgen Klinsmann has developed a different style of play against Mexico, and he's been quite successful, actually. He hasn't lost against Mexico to this point. So whoever dominates the midfield in this game, in a more traditional sense, is going to be able to dominate the game.
Now, Eric, just finally, Jurgen says that El Tri will be able to still qualify regardless of whatever happens in tonight's game. Considering everything that's gone on, how late this managerial change has been made and how close Tenier did work with Chet De La Torre. I mean, in Mexico, is there any thought at all, any doubt that this Mexico side might miss out on the World Cup? Because if results don't go their way tonight, if they end up losing, that game against Panama suddenly coming up on the 10th of October is absolutely huge in terms of their fight to get to World Cup 2014.
Yeah, there's absolutely doubt. And the reason why there's doubt is because we've never seen a Mexican national team struggle so mightily with the amount of talent that they supposedly have within their ranks. So there is a definite sense of impending doom. And this also has to do a little bit with the Mexican mentality. But I'm not going to get into this sort of social banter. You know, the issue with the remaining games and the fact that this managerial change came so late is quite simple. I don't think anybody expected Mexico to lose at home against Honduras. You know, I think the worst case scenario was that they would draw and there would still be chance for Chepo to lose his job. And you know what? There might have been still a very good possibility that he might have been fired if he would have gotten a draw against Honduras. But at least if you would have gotten a draw, there would have been a very, very slight chance that you would have dropped down positions in the hex. I mean, they were sitting in third, and despite their terrible form, they were still in line for automatic World Cup qualification. Now they've dropped down to fourth. And a combination of results tonight, losing against the U.S. and Panama pulling out a result against Honduras, they could be in fifth. And that's setting up a huge game, as you mentioned, against Panama on October 10th, which I still think is going to be the deciding factor for this World Cup qualifying campaign. And, you know, based on the past, based on the talent level, based on the fact that Mexico is showing a willingness to change, despite the fact that it has come so late, you have to expect Mexico to take care of business against Panama at the Estadio Azteca, knowing full well that Panama, despite having such a good generation of players, have not been able to parlay that talent into results in the World Cup qualifiers. So it's going to set up a huge game, but I prefer to think that tonight Mexico can start their upward swing. I fully expect this game to come out a 1-1 draw, and that draw would be massive for Mexico because they haven't been able to pull out any sort of result from Columbus to do so against the team that has been doing so well in the hex, that won the Gold Cup. It's just going to be a huge boost in confidence, and that's what I'm expecting.
A big emotional boost on the line, and I'm sure Mexican football fans will be pleased to see that Panama, of course, have lost their last two games on the road, 2-0. They take on Honduras tonight away from home. That's a big game in World Cup qualification in CONCACAF. They're all big games now, though. And Eric, thank you so much for taking us through a little bit of Mexico against the USA tonight in Columbus. We look forward. It's set to be an absolute thriller of a game. Can't wait to get into it, and I'm sure you can't either, mate.
Definitely. Great having me on, Ollie. Thank you very much.
We always appreciate it, Eric. Take care. Have a cracking afternoon and enjoy the football tonight, mate. Eric Gomez there joining us here on World Football Daily, talking all things Mexican national football team and the USA. Of course, they meet tonight in Columbus. A huge, huge game. Let's just take you through